What does it mean to be spiritually immature, as it talks about in Hebrews 5, 11 through 14? That's what we're going to find out in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Welcome to the program. You've picked a good day to tune in because we're in a series on the biblical book of Hebrews. Our series is titled Hebrews Partners with Christ. That is also the title of a book that is a great companion for the series that we're currently in. I'm going to come back at the end of the program and tell you how to get a copy for yourself. Now, we have a special treat today, and for the duration of this series, Dr. Kenneth Yates, the author of that book, is in the studio with us. So we're going to go right to the discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin, Sean Lazar, and Dr. Kenneth Yates. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And in the studio with us today is Dr. Ken Yates. He has a new book, a commentary on Hebrews called Hebrews, Partners with Christ. It is a perspective on Hebrews that you've probably never heard before. A lot of people read Hebrews as if it warns people about losing their salvation. There's these famous warning passages there. A lot of people think that Hebrews is about warning fake Christians about their fakeness, about not really being saved. That is not at all what is going on here. And in this series, we have just been unraveling the rich Old Testament texture of Hebrews, which is all about Christ being our high priest, being our king, being the one who's going to rule in this kingdom, and he's looking for partners to rule with him. Why did you choose partners as your subtitle?
Because I think that's a major theme there. As we've mentioned, the Greek word is metakoi, and it's talking about an intimate partner with Christ. While all believers are children of God and will be in the kingdom, those who are faithful to him, those who suffer with him, will be close, intimate companions. And I thought the word partner was a good English translation of that.
Now, let's say you're not particularly a good Christian, but you've believed in Jesus for eternal salvation. Are you still saved?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes. You never, as you said in the intro, Sean, most people come to the book of Hebrews think it's talking about salvation. And if you come that way, the book of Hebrews is going to be a depressing book in a way, in the sense that you may be questioning, well, am I going to be in the kingdom? But that's not the point of the book at all. The point of the book is a great motivational book for us to be partners with Christ in the world to come.
But in a sense, Ken, the whole book of Hebrews is talking about salvation. It's just not talking about salvation from hell.
Exactly.
It's talking about being one of Christ's partners. Hebrews 1:14 ties back to 1:9. He'll experience the oil of gladness more than all of his companions, more than all of his partners. And angels are these ministering spirits sent out to those who will inherit soteria, salvation. And so the salvation in 14 goes back to the companionship, the partnership in verse 9. So the whole book is calling us to be partners with Christ, and that is called salvation. But that's why it's tricky. If you want to find how the author of Hebrews is talking about being eternally with God, the term he uses in Hebrews 10 is sanctified.
Absolutely. He uses words differently than we normally do. And what we see here is just how great a salvation Christ has given us, not only saving us from hell,
right,
but also saving us from our trials, our enemies, our obstacles, so that we can reign with him in the world to come. I think Sean used a phrase, the full-orbed salvation that Christ offers us.
Right. And it really comes down to the issue of spiritual maturity. Are you mature? If so, then you'll have this full salvation. But what happens if you're immature? Well, the author of Hebrews is going to be talking about spiritual immaturity. We're in chapter 5, and we're going to start at verse 11. The author was just describing how Jesus is our high priest. I love this comment here in verse 11. He says, "Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing."
Yeah.
I always tell you when I'm preaching, there are two jobs that are happening on a Sunday morning when you're preaching. The preacher has a job, and then the congregation has a job. And the congregation's job is to be good listeners. Very often, people become hard of hearing. Have you ever experienced that?
Oh, no, I've never experienced that.
They're like, oh, people are bored, and they're like, entertain me. And that's when preaching goes off, right? That's when preaching stops being biblical. That's when preachers start becoming entertainers, and they start preaching the feel-good stuff and the health and the wealth and the prosperity nonsense. It's when people become hard of hearing. But it's hard to be a good hearer.
I just had an idea, Sean. Maybe we can come out with spiritual hearing aids.
Spiritual, can we do that?
Little things you stick in your ear, and maybe it goes off every once in a while to perk you up and make you pay attention.
Maybe it senses when you're falling asleep and it gives you an electric shock.
There you go,
exactly.
A shock.
That's going to wake you
that's
up.
A shock, that's it.
And it shuts down your cell phone so you can't text during the service.
Well, so he has a lot to say to his readers, and he admits it's hard to explain. I love that phrase. It's hard to explain.
Right.
But since you have become dull of hearing. Verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. This reminds me of a story. I heard a preacher, megachurch preacher from the UK. They needed a Sunday school teacher, and he went and he approached this old lady. She'd been in the church for about 50 years, and he just needed someone to take over this Sunday school class for young children, 5-6-year-olds. And she said, oh, no, pastor, I can't do it. I just need to be here and just soak up the word of God. And the pastor says, no, honestly, it's just, you know, it's a Sunday school class for kids. You've been a Christian for a long time. You can handle it. Why don't you take over this class? And she said, oh, no, there's just no way. I just don't know enough. I'm still learning. At that point, the pastor got angry, and he told her, I don't want you to come back to church next week. Find another church. And she was shocked. She said, I've been here for decades and decades and decades. How can you tell me not to come back to this church? And he said, well, obviously, you're not growing here, so go find a church where you are growing.
Wow.
That seems to be what the author of Hebrews is saying here, right? They should be teachers.
Yes, this is the first time in the book that the author specifically charges his readers with failure. Mm. If you look at the first warning passage in chapter 2, it's, you know, we can drift away. But here he specifically says, you all are at fault. The issue here is that many of you have not matured in your Christian faith. And he tells them they're guilty of this. They've been believers for a while, but yet they were thinking of abandoning Christianity, going back to Judaism. They were having problems with the basics.
Right.
And they should not be in that situation. It's a sad situation.
And this is pretty similar to 1 Corinthians 3,
absolutely,
1 through 3, where milk is used as the basic teachings of the Bible. Solid food, and the same thing in 1 Corinthians 3, is the more in-depth teaching in the Bible, what Sean would call the thick.
The thick cut steaks.
Steaks, that's right. This isn't some pounded thin kind of steak. And so they should be at that point, but they're not. And I think this is a very sobering statement.
I mean, how long should it take for a Christian from the point they become born again to be able to be a teacher? How long do you think it should take?
I think it's going to vary from believer to believer. But certainly these people, he charges them because they've been a believer for at least 5 years, and they should be at the point where they were able to teach.
You have the same thing in 1 Corinthians, because we know when Paul was there and we know when he wrote the letter, and it's around 5 years later, he said, you're still carnal. In fact, the first word in 1 Corinthians 3:3 is still in the Greek text. He's saying, look, by now you should have been a spiritual person, 1 Corinthians 2:14 to 16, but you're still babes. And the word babes is used here too in verse 13. And notice this, the part about being unskilled in the word of righteousness. We're called to be skilled in the word of righteousness. I like that.
Biblical illiteracy is probably one of the greatest reasons for failure in the church today. People just don't know the word of God.
And I love the word that is used here, through practice. The author of Hebrews is saying spiritual maturity comes about by taking in the word of God and putting it to use in your life. And as you put it to use, you're able to take in more. You're able to understand more. And so there's this idea of, just like a baby takes milk, and then it can take baby food, and then it can take solid food as it grows. That is the way it should be with the word of God. But we must put it into practice. And that's the problem with these original readers. They have not done that. In verse 11, concerning whom we have much to say, We don't know whether he's talking about Melchizedek or whether he's talking about Christ and his high priesthood, but they're not able to take in the things that the author is teaching him. And the reason it's important is because if they are going to be faithful to the Lord, they need to understand about the high priesthood of Christ.
Right.
So this is very practical,
right.
But they're not able to take it in.
He's not blaming their teachers. He's not blaming their pastors. He's blaming them for being bad hearers. He's blaming them for not taking the word of God seriously.
Verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. They're mature. That is, those who by reason of use, as Ken's been talking about, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Well, if you're in a church that isn't giving you solid food, doesn't it make sense to go to a different church?
Yeah.
I was talking to someone recently, and they were talking about a church where for years, all they gave was a salvation message week in and week out. Believe in Jesus, you're born again, and that's all you got.
And I think the good and bad here, while it can refer to morality, I think in the context of Hebrews, it's more likely that he's talking about doctrine. These people were seriously contemplating leaving Christianity and going back to Judaism because they could not recognize the importance of the doctrine that was taught in both of those groups. And so Christians need to grow in their understanding of what the Bible says about what we should believe. Another thing that I just want to point out here, when it says they are dull of hearing, many years ago I read that the Greek word there was used in one sense of the way when you fall asleep on your arm and it goes to sleep and you can't move it in the morning,
right.
You become sick in your hearing. That's the way your hearing is. It becomes dull. It becomes useless. And that can happen if we are not taking in the Word of God and putting it to practice.
So what would be an example of milk? What would be an example of meat?
Well, in chapter 6, he's going to give examples of the milk, laying on of hands, of washings, the basics of the faith. One of the things he says is, for example, eternal judgment. And when we talk about judgment, it's talking about the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne. One of the basics would be one day we're going to stand before the Lord and give an account of how we've lived. And the author of Hebrews is telling them that they're not taking that in.
Those are the basic truths. But the high priesthood of Christ, this probably falls more under the advanced truth.
Yes, and Melchizedek.
And ruling with Christ in the life to come is something we should all long for. So hang in with us because we're on a journey through the book of Hebrews that's very, very edifying, encouraging, and challenging.
A special thanks to Ken, Bob, and Sean for that great discussion. Now, I want to tell you how to get your own copy of Dr. Kenneth Yates' book, Hebrews Partners with Christ. You could go to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And once you're there, you can either put the title in the search bar or go directly to our bookstore. This book would be a great companion for this series. Now, while you're on the website, I hope you'll take advantage of our many other free resources. You can get a subscription to our magazine. You can get a subscription to our podcast. You can get a subscription to our daily blog post. All of that and much more is completely free. I hope you'll jump on there and take advantage of all of these materials because they are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith. Next time on the program, we're going to talk about something called the elementary principles. Sounds like fun, doesn't it? Hope you'll join us. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.